Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Leadership from the Heart. Today we have Gary Montalvo, a leadership and business coach with nearly two decades of experience helping entrepreneurs and organizations grow. Most recently, Gary served as the Chief Growth Officer at Lime Life by Alcon, where he developed global sales and recruitment strategies. Known for his compassionate yet straightforward style, Gary empowers heart-centered entrepreneurs to transform overwhelm into sustainable success with structured growth strategies. He's also the host of the Ownership Game podcast. Let's dive into Gary's strategies and how he helps people bridge the gap between where they are and where they want to be. Welcome, Gary. It's really nice to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here. As a podcast host myself, I know what it means to bring someone to inside your home and introduce them to your people and your community. So thank you. It means a lot that you trust me, and I promise to take care of your people in the best way I know how.
That's beautiful. Thank you for that. Yeah, I think we forget. I think a lot of people think it's just an interview, but it's true. You're walking into like our home. So it's beautiful.
Absolutely.
To have you here.
And people don't realize the amount of work that it takes to do this. You know, there's a reason why most podcasts don't make it past 10 episodes. It's a lot of work. So, no, it's a big deal for you to let somebody into your home, into your world like this. So, thank you.
For sure. I think persistence and consistency in podcasting, if you're not going to be committed to it, don't even start. It's tough.
No.
Yeah.
It looks fun. It is fun,
actually. It is fun.
But
after the episode, all the work comes in. So, Gary, one of the first things I wanted to ask you about is the connection between people's personal values and business. What is your take on that? And what's the impact that entrepreneurs can have and leaders not translating their personal values and missions into their vision for their business or their vision for their team and organization?
Yeah, that's a great one. Look, this stuff is hard. Running a business is a lot of work. It's one of the most challenging things you're going to do. It's one of the most confronting things that you're going to do. And it's one of the best personal development courses that you're ever going to be on. And so your values is the thing that holds you in. It's the thing that buckles you into the seat, right? It's the compass that gives you direction.
Yeah.
A lot of times what happens is you go into this environment where you're just getting bounced around. It's like, oh, I need this. Oh, and now I got to do this. No, I got the marketing here. Now taxes. Now, so you're just bouncing around trying to survive, trying to get the business growing. And when you start out, it's typically just you, right? If you're lucky, you may have a VA, but it's typically just you. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot of bouncing around, and your values is the thing that gives you clarity, that gives you focus, that allows you to say, no, that's not important right now. This is where I should be focusing on. I mean, even very recently, I was having a conversation with a mentor, and what I realized was that I've been, you know, for the last couple of weeks, months, I've been focusing more on my processes and on setting up my infrastructure and, you know, trying to feel in control of the situation, but not over focusing on people, right? And not that I've been doing lower service, but really my why is the people. It's the reason I do this. It's the reason why I love, you know, coaching, is because I work with people. So instead of focusing on sharing my message, getting out there more, you know, making sure that I'm have a strong presence online, I'm making sure that my systems for my podcast are all in place and organized and automated. And that needs to get done, but not over the reason why I'm doing this, right? So that's just a clear example of when you're not really grounded in your values and having them in front of you constantly, having something in place to remind you and check, you can get very easily distracted or out of alignment, I think is a better way of saying it, right? And so when you become out of alignment, like for me, how that shows up is I'm not having as much fun.
Right.
It becomes more of a struggle. It becomes more of a challenge. I start to lose some of that spark, and this stuff is too hard to not be having fun.
For sure. And so knowing that those things have to get done, what is your specific balance of, you know, tackling the processes? Because work can also, or business could also be very tragic if you don't have, I'm an operator. So processes for me is like my jam.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that those things have to get done and also balancing your focus, your why of the people, how do you balance that?
Yeah, so I'm not an operator by instinct. I'm an operator by training, right? I've learned that when I don't plan, things just go awry. So my natural instinct I'm not a planner. I'm more of a creative. I'm more of a people person. But I've learned to love planning because it gives me structure, and that structure allows me to thrive and not be bouncing around. Now, where we go wrong is that we only plan the processes. We only plan the systems and the numbers. You also have to plan the moments where you ask yourself, am I alignment with my values? You have to ask yourself, you have to plan the moments where you check in with your vision and review it, right? You have to plan the moments where you ask yourself, are these values serving me now? Do I need to evolve? Am I still in alignment with this? We just start focusing on the doingness and we stop focusing on the beingness, and those values and the vision, those questions are the things that keep us centered in our bodies and keep us in alignment with our hearts. So you have to plan for that as well. You know, you can't. So for example, something that I've done that I do is if you look at my calendar right now, I have an inspiration day and I have a planning day on my calendar. Right. And those are days where I don't do anything. I don't take calls. I don't do any work on the business, That's my two work on the business. And so those are days where I just review my plan, check in with myself. The inspiration day is literally a day where I'm just like going to go find inspiration, going to go to the museum, going to go sit on the beach. But not like on the beach and tune out the music, on the beach, really being inside of my purpose. You know, I don't know if it's the Pisces in me, but the water, just like when I'm near the water, it's like it's healing for me. Right.
Yeah.
So we all have those places, but you have to plan that work. And again, I go back to us always being in reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is true for entrepreneurs, but it's just true in humans today where we live very reactionary lifestyles.
Right.
We were not designed to have devices in front of us at all times.
Right.
And so that does something to our nervous system. It does something to the way we pay attention. So you have to design, organize, plan processes that kind of counteract that a bit, right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise it doesn't get done, and then you're trying to do it in reaction, and you're trying to do it at the last minute, and you're trying to do it when you realize, oh my God, everything's in breakdown. How do I get in alignment with your vision? Well, it's really hard to get in alignment with your vision when your bank account is screaming at you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And like planning for the creativity, planning for the fun is just as equally as important as planning for planning, you know, especially if you're not an operator by, like you said, default, you know? So I really like that. I think I'm going to look at implementing something like that into my own life, because that's very, very, very helpful. How do leaders and or entrepreneurs, you know, for me, entrepreneurs, leaders, it's like interchangeable. How do they tell me?
Well, you would think, but what I find more often than not is they don't see the correlation, right? They don't see that it's like...
Thank you. Thank you. Because that's, while for me, it is obvious, you're absolutely right. Most people don't see it.
Yeah.
Most people don't know.
What happens is that a relationship to leadership is like external. So I need, you know, a title, I need a, you know, degree, or I need a bank account, or I need something out there
outside
to
of me,
tell me that I
that
am
a leader.
I need a team, right? I need to, you know, that's a big one, because they're like, well, it's just me, right? I'm a solopreneur. I don't know. You're still leading at all times. You know,
yep.
You're leading your business. You're leading yourself.
Yep. Self-leadership is first.
100%. 100%. So it's most of the work that I do is trying to wake people up to that. Because if you don't realize that, then you're kind of living life in reaction to life versus leading your life.
Right.
And that's a very distinct ways of showing up. Very different ways of showing up. So yeah. So I you know, it's always fun talking to other leadership coaches, because we're like, yeah, we get it.
You know, and it's true. And I often take for granted, like in the beginning, when I first started leadership coaching, I had a mentor as well. And he was asking me questions. And I was like, you know, this comes so naturally to me that I feel almost guilty for charging for it, because this is just who I am. It's in my being, you know, and he, you know, he had the same issue with his gift. And so learning that not everyone has this, and that's okay, because I have mentors and coaches that of things that, you know, come naturally for them as well.
Yeah.
I just had a thought as you were speaking. Do you think that you're always in either follow mode or leader mode?
That's an interesting question. I think you're leading even when you're following.
For sure.
You know,
I agree.
And I think one of the most difficult choices or difficult to discern is when do you step back and allow someone else to lead? I mean, I feel like as a leadership, when I first started tapping, because my first taste of leadership was me in the front, right? Me leading the team, me stepping up, because so much of my journey towards leadership was learning to own my own voice and learning to not hide and avoid. And so what it looked like for me was me taking that step, and it often put me in the front of the group, in front of the room. But then it also put me in a situation where I was doing everything. I was the one that was handling, doing all the hard stuff. And then I realized that leadership was about replacing myself.
Yeah.
Leadership was about training other people to eventually stand where I'm standing.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm just standing in the background going like, yeah, great job. I'm sorry.
Right.
I stepped away from the mic.
Yeah, that's okay. I was with you. I was like inside with you. Yeah.
If you're watching the video, you'll know what happened. But if you're listening to the audio, I stepped away from the back to simulate back of the room. Yeah, I think, you know, so much of the image of leadership is people think that they have to be in front, you know, controlling or leading the situation. But I think the real power, especially for entrepreneurs, is learning to train. So you have a VA, you have your first employee. How do you train that person to eventually be able to stand alongside of you in full ownership of the business, in full ownership of the direction, you know, as committed as you are? And that does require some talent, I think, some practice, some training. But it's the only way that you're not going to end up being a bottleneck, you know, because if you're the one that's always leading, then everybody has to go through you.
Correct.
And get the okay. And your business will only grow as much as you have the capacity to do that. And for most people, we get to a place, usually it's around the 185-100K mark, where it's like, okay, now I have to start developing leadership inside of other people, because I'll be holding everybody back. So I think even when you're following, you're leading.
I agree.
I don't think following looks like you ever have your hand off the steering wheel.
Sure.
Even when you're following, when I'm following from, how do I make that person win? How do I make my leader
100%, 100%.
Win? 100%. How do I set them up, right? What can I bring to the table to, you know, and following also looks like I'm not in alignment with this idea. I don't necessarily think it's going to work, but you'll never know it. Because I'm going to get behind my leader and empower the situation and empower them. You know, I'll speak up. I'll share my ideas. I'll say, hey, this is what I think we should do. But once my leader says, hey, I want to move forward in this direction, I will back it up, right?
For sure.
I will. And so even though I'm quote unquote following, I think that's also an act of leadership.
For sure.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for that. I love to be led. You know what I mean? As a leadership coach, I love to be led. I love to see the different perspectives. I often ask for different perspectives because I feel like it's expansion for me. And even like you said, when I'm not in agreement, I find that to be expansion as well, right? Because, okay, I'm not in agreement and yet I am going to do this, right? And so how do I find alignment even within this?
Yeah.
And I think that's...
And that's because you're not leading from a place of ego.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Correct.
Because when you're not leading from a place of ego, you're leading from a place of values, right? Clearly, one of your values is growth and expansion and learning, right? Then you're able to make those kind of distinctions and take those types of actions. But when you're leading from a place of ego, which, you know, I think we've all been guilty of at some point when you like the attention, you like to, you know, I love hitting a home run at the park. I love it.
Of course.
You know, who doesn't?
Right? I love winning. Yeah.
But when you lead from a place of ego, then you start to, then the value becomes you getting the accolades,
you
getting the attention, not taking care of your people, not making sure that your people are developing and growing and those types of things. I just wanted to make a distinction because, again, that's one of the things that I think may come naturally to you, but don't come naturally to it. Doesn't come naturally
for sure
to everybody.
So I want to be a little vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
I feel safe with you. So I feel that I am a great leader in the corporate America world, right? I mean, I know it. I own it now. But when I started my business and I surrounded myself with a team, I did not know how to lead them. And that was very humbling for me.
Yeah.
What is the difference between, and I feel like it's some sort of, I've gone down the healing path as well. I feel like it's some sort of perhaps attachment that this is mine now, and I don't quite know how to release either control or I'm afraid to step into my being of it. What is your take on how can I lead hundreds of frontline employees and then when I have my own business and I have 4 employees, I struggle.
Yeah. Oh, it's completely different. It's your baby.
Right. Yeah.
It's your baby. It's, you know, it's a whole different thing.
So there's like a non-attachment in the corporate world. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And that's not to say you don't care and you're not committed.
Sure.
But
if I fuck it up, I can always go somewhere else, right?
Yeah. No, and you see this a lot happen when, you know, I'll give you a perfect example for me. So I had so much experience selling for other people.
Mm-hmm.
No problem selling for other people, recruiting for other people. All of a sudden, I'm selling and recruiting for myself. I'm bugging out, like so insecure, don't know what to do, totally babbling. You know, and I had to learn how to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is especially true when you're a heart-centered person, a heart-centered leader, meaning you're more relationship, you're more people-oriented. A lot of these actions for you become a reflection of the relationship. And so, you know, you think that like getting a no feels like you're getting a no to the relationship. Yeah. Like a reject, you know what I mean? But when you're in corporate America, when you're in a job, it doesn't feel that way because they're not saying no to you. They're saying no to the product that you're representing. Sure. So it's a whole different thing. So definitely have a lot of grace for yourself. Look, I think, and the reason why it can happen where you get backed up like that when it's your own leadership in your own company, it can come from a couple of different places. I think there's about, let me highlight a few. So number one, it can come from a sense of control. You know, like one of the ways that I move about life is sort of like having control around situations, knowing, you know, that I can produce a very a predictable outcome. So the moment you start throwing other people into that, you lose some of that, right? You lose your ability to produce, at least at the beginning. Part of bringing somebody in and training them is having, if you want to train them to the point where they have their own leadership, then part of that is giving them enough space to make mistakes and to know that it's okay to make mistakes, right?
For sure.
Because if they don't have permission to make mistakes, then they're always going to follow the rules that you give them. And whenever those rules don't match real life, they won't do anything, right? They won't take action. Or they'll bring the problem to you and you have to stop what you're doing to solve the problem. Yeah. So number one might be like a bit of control, right? Number two, it could be the relationship, the F factor that we talked about. If I have to now correct you, or if I have to hold you accountable, or if I have to discipline you, right? I know that's it's an ugly word, but people need correction sometimes. Then it might be uncomfortable for me to do that because if I do that, it might put our relationship at risk.
For sure.
Right? And then I think the other one that I see is that people just don't understand the process of training. They, you know, they have a skill set that they have in a blind spot that other people don't know how to do that. And so when the other person doesn't do it like they do it or doesn't match their expectations, they go, let me just do it myself, or I can't trust this person, or this person doesn't know what they're doing. And it's like, no, did you explain to them or just assume, that they are gonna, like, if you want somebody to do it your way, you actually have to sit down and go, this is how I do it. This is my process. And this is why I do it this way.
Yeah.
This is what I've learned about doing it this way. And this is what I've learned about doing it a different way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you watch me do it a few times. Okay. Now, I will watch you do it a few times. And then now you will do it a few times. Well, I'm not watching you, but then you're going to come and show me the work and I'm going to check it. And then after we've gone through those different steps, now you do it on your own and only come to me when there's a problem, right?
Trust but verify.
Absolutely. So if you're not taking people through a process like that, then you can't assume that they're going to do it. I mean, there's people who might, the stars may align and
sure.
And it might work out, but generally you're just throwing spaghetti on the wall and hoping it sticks, right? So those are the three main reasons that I find people struggle in those areas. Of course, there's others, but I think those are the three sort of big buckets.
Yeah.
And it's all leadership coaching.
It is. You know,
it all gets resolved with leadership coaching and understanding that you now have to grow in your in the way that you do run your business because it's required. Like, look, you can't have a goldfish without it growing you. I've got puppies and I'm having to learn a lot. They're not puppies anymore, but that's challenging and pushing me. The business is going to be the biggest personal development course you will ever do.
The biggest. It will shine a light on all of your insecurities.
It really will.
Which is beautiful. You know what I mean? If you want to expand, that's a really fast way to expand. I want to touch on something. You said, I'm heart-centered. I know that you're heart-centered. Can you be a leader of people without being heart-centered?
Yes, but you have to know that you're not that. And you have to be in ownership of it because then that allows you in ownership of it. When you're in ownership of it and you can accept that without judgment, that gives you the ability to manage that, right? And maybe you typically a great way to manage that is to just have someone on your team who is that.
Yeah.
Right. And empower them.
Yeah.
You can also just set up processes, steps, you know. So for example, your weekly meetings with your team, instead of just like what needs to get done, very simple at the end, just add, okay, what's something that you're proud of this week?
Right.
Right. Or start the meeting with like, hey, what's something that you want to acknowledge yourself for this week?
Yeah.
Those are little, if you know that that's your weakness, you can still compensate for it and build it into your process. But it does require you to understand that and to value, to see the value in that.
In being heart-centered.
In being heart-centered or in caring, right?
Like, I think that's what I mean, yes.
Yeah. I think what people... where people miss the mark is that they don't, it's like these people that you're leading, they're in your care, mm-hmm. they're in your charge,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they're winning at their jobs, that they have what they need, that they're feeling challenged, that they're growing as people, that they're being mentored, that their families are healthy and well. Like when you're leading people, it's all of that.
It's like, all of it.
And if you're not thinking about it that way, well, you're going to very quickly realize that people are not as committed to the process. They're not staying as long. People perform better when they know that they're being cared for.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think for you, it just feels better too. Like it's a more authentic expression of being a human being, no matter yes. what you, I see your head shaking.
Yes.
You know, you might have, I feel that people forget that sometimes. And I, you know, the process of leading, of coaching, leadership coaching, I think brings you back to that and connects you to that. But it's a natural instinct, whether you are task oriented or people oriented, to care about other people and want to be related to other people, you know.
And that's what I try to tell people who are not heart-centered. I'm like, because for people who are heart-centered, it's easy for us, right? The relationship is what we thrive off of. And yeah. I love it, right? And you should add people to your team that are more analytical because you're not so analytical, right? But for people who are analytical and they're leaders, I try to tell them that being heart-centered or caring is a hack. It is the fastest way to get anything done that you would like to get done. You don't have to do much when your team knows that you care. That's not my primary focus. My primary focus is my natural state is to care. And so for people who are not heart-centered, I find them to be very lean in their thinking, very lean in their mannerisms. They don't use a lot of words. They're very direct and to the point.
Yeah.
And I understand that as far as from an efficiency standpoint, but the most efficient thing you can do is care.
Because
yeah. you set your team in one direction and they will go through walls for
they
you.
They will fight for you. They will fight for the mission. They will do all the things. They will have your back.
All you the know, things.
If they know they're being taken care of and that doesn't necessarily always mean monetarily, you know?
Right.
Sometimes you can't do monetarily, but there's so many other things that you can do to make sure. You know, I always made sure that my team had little moments, you know, like when if we were on a retreat somewhere or if we had to go do a training somewhere, I would make sure that, okay, let me take you to a nice dinner or let me keep you an extra day here and let's just go sightseeing. And again, maybe those weren't great examples because they cost money, but there are things you can do, even asking, how 100%. Are you? How are things at home? Right? Learning their kids' names. Learning, you know, and you can take notes if you don't remember. I take notes when I'm coaching people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm terrible with names, but I still care.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done like book club. I've done things that, yeah, they're small monetary, but they go such a long way. I mean, you know, and so my take, and I would love your take, my take on why people don't do maybe what they consider the goofy things like, you know, I want to stay with you an extra day because it's giving, right? It's mm-hmm. giving of yourself. It's because there's a little apprehension in maybe not being so cool. Doing a book club is not so cool. It's a little, I have to be vulnerable in that. And so what's your take on people who perhaps lack vulnerability for their team and how do you coach them to be more vulnerable?
Yeah. I mean, the word that was screaming in my head when you were setting up this question was intimacy.
Mm.
Right? I think at
people
the end
of
the day,
people are afraid of intimacy.
It's a concern of intimacy, right? If I ask you to open up, then I have to open up. If get deep in the weeds with you, then I have to talk about feelings. And I may, you know, find myself in a situation where I'm uncomfortable, where I don't know what to say, where I don't know, you know, and I get it. You know, I certainly get it. Again, I think it comes back to understanding what your limitations are, understanding what your strengths are, playing into them. And I think, look, you touched on this earlier. If you are in a leadership position, and this is where we get in trouble, because mostly people get into leadership positions by working, right?
Yes.
I do my job. I
yes.
do it well. And
yes.
then all of a sudden I get put in a position
promoted.
Where I'm not responsible for other human beings. But here's the thing, the same skill set that got you there is not the same skill set that is required to lead that team. And most companies do not then now take that person and put them in some type of leadership training. So they have to figure this out on their own. But if you're one of these people and you're listening, you gotta now dive into learning the other side of this, learning
yeah.
the skill set side, learning the communication side. And yeah, that might put you in an uncomfortable situation. It might mean you have to learn how to be intimate. It might mean you might, you know, have to go some places, but put your big boy, big girl pants on and do the work. Hire a coach. Read the books. What doesn't work is avoiding it.
Yes.
What doesn't work is pretending that it's not there. And what doesn't work is not valuing it when most of your team is.
Yeah.
Right? So you have to be...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Got to do that work. That's the next step
yeah.
of your learning and next step of your evolution. And luckily,
yeah.
there's a lot of people out there like Romy, like myself, who could support you in figuring that out. But it does, you know, and my whole thing about it too, I think I want to touch on this because I think that one of the things that happens is that we have these ideas about what leadership looks like.
Yes.
And we have these ideas about what leadership has to be. And that gets us in trouble because
mm-hmm.
it locks us in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can't meet those expectations, we are judging ourselves. We are
yes.
poo-pooing. But I think we've been, for some time now, we've been moving in this direction of leadership as authentic.
Yes.
And I think one of the most powerful things you can say to another human being is, I don't know what to do right now.
Yes.
I'm not sure what to say right now.
Yes.
But I'm going to go do some thinking. I don't know what the answer is. Give me 48 hours to kind of think, to bring it to my mentors, to pray on it.
Yeah.
But a lot, if you don't give yourself the permission to do that and you feel that you always have to have the answer and that you always have to know what to say and that you always have to be the tough person, the strong person, the all of that, then yeah, you're going to be limited.
Yeah.
And you're going to put all this pressure on yourself. And I think that that has people also avoid those conversations. But I think you want to understand and give people permission to be human.
Yeah.
You know, leadership for me doesn't mean you know what to do. Leadership for me means that you're willing to engage in the conversation of what do we do about this, right?
Yeah.
How do we, you know, what can I do?
Yeah.
And sometimes the best thing you can do is okay, I'm going to go sleep on it. I'm going to go pray on it. But like, you know, I'm going to go talk to whoever. I'm going to post about it and get some feedback. Like, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. There's so much power in community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said a lot there, and I want to unpack a few of those things. I agree with you, and that's why you said, like, people like us, we just jam out because this is, like, this is everything for us,
it's
right?
It's fun, yeah.
Yeah. So earlier you said that when you started your leadership journey, you found yourself in the front of the room quite often. Do you believe that that's an evolution of learning how to be in the front of the room? Because that is a characteristic you're going to need from time to time. And is that something you have to learn? And I say that as an example, but are the things that you're having to do that aren't necessarily leadership traits, things that you're having to learn to be able to then show someone else how to? Meaning your vessel has to be able to hold it to be able to give it to someone else, right? Your vessel being your body, your brain, your being. Is that part of the evolution for people in anything, but leadership-wise?
That's such a good, you asked really good questions. I love this. So I don't think leadership is about being in the front of the room or the back of the room as much as it is about being willing to not avoid the things that are scary and uncomfortable.
Preach.
So if for you being in front of the room is an avoidance, it's a fear thing, it's a thing where you just don't want to go, you could probably still find a way to get done what you need to get done. However, what happens is there is a ceiling on you. There's a limit on your capacity to lead, to expand, right? The moment you're not willing to go somewhere, well, that becomes your new line, your new wall, right? The new box. And so that's going to come up in other areas, right? Yeah. It's going to come up, you know, maybe you have a medical issue and you have to advocate for yourself. That's a version of being in front of the room. But now you haven't trained yourself to have those conversations and have the spotlight on you in that way.
Yes.
Maybe you need to have an uncomfortable conversation in your family, but now you haven't trained yourself to be the person that takes the initiative to have those conversations. So I think that's more where I would want to highlight, you know, if you don't have to be in front or the back in order to get it done. It could either could work, either strategy could work. I just think if you're avoiding something, and for some other people, they're avoiding the partnership.
Yeah.
Right. They're avoiding the working with others. They're avoiding the empowering others. Because they feel out of control, because it gets messier, because it seems easier this way, or whatever reason they're telling themselves. I think those are the things that you want to pay attention to. For me, it looked like stepping in front of the room first, because that was the sort of first milestone. That was the big hurdle that I was like.
Yeah.
I was in a leadership program where I was first really getting trained, and my nickname was the Cowardly Lion, because like I knew my instincts were always spot on.
Right.
I knew what to do. I knew, but I wasn't willing to, you know, I was like from the background like this.
Right.
And it really wasn't until I learned how to be willing to be the first.
Yeah.
And, you know, so much of it for me, I'm just realizing this as I'm talking to you. So much of it for me was also this fear, unwillingness to take up space. You know, I think some of it is cultural. Like I was, you know, I came to this country as my parents were immigrants. So when you're an immigrant, you kind of tend to just work hard, keep your head down and stay out of trouble. Don't take up space, right? Because you could lose your job, you could lose your, you know. And then, you know, you find yourself in these situations where in college, I was one of the few people of color. And, you know, my first corporate job, I was an art director at Sony Music. And I was like one of two people of any of color diversity, in the whole right. thing. And not because there's any malice behind it, but when, you know, whether you're the only woman in the room, anytime you're the other in the room, what can often happen is you tend to not take up space because you don't want to call more attention to yourself.
Yeah.
And I had to undo a lot of that.
Yeah.
You know, I had to undo a lot of the ways that I survived those environments. And I'm still not like, oh, let me take up space. But now if I know that I need to, I mean, one of the ways that it showed up for me, Romy, was when I started to do public speaking, I would freak out. I would start sweating. And I'm talking about sweat. I don't have any hair. Those of you that are listening to them, bald. So the sweat was just dripping down my forehead.
Yeah.
I would wear suits because I couldn't wear anything else because I needed to hide the sweat stains underneath, you know? And so part of what I had to learn was really being comfortable.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's even comfortable because I still get nervous every time I have to go up in front of on stage. But now I am willing to do it. Right.
Yeah.
It's a muscle that I have developed. It's a, you know, whatever comes up, I'm willing to deal with it, right? Whatever crazy thing somebody braces their hand to say, like, I'm willing to face it.
Yeah.
Where before I wasn't, right? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that, you know, whenever I do recognize that I'm the only woman of color, woman, period.
Yeah.
I don't often notice it, which I'm grateful for because I love that ignorance because it doesn't allow me to marginalize myself.
Yeah.
But what I do notice is I am very much like you where I'm just like, let me just, you know, I'm just glad to be here. Let me not make any noise.
Yeah.
Or people do the opposite, right? Where they need to be seen and heard and will say things that are just, you know, really off topic or left, you know, field. And, you know, I always tell people that whenever you start to feel that almost like angst, right? That anxiety, that it's just an invitation inviting you to just like, let's see what that is, right? Let's unpack that. And maybe not right here in this boardroom or this conference room, but let's unpack that because both are very hurtful to yourself, right? If you're too boisterous, you know, in the corporate world, right? You may not be invited anymore.
Yeah.
And the same as if you don't speak up, you're not adding value. And therefore, you know, so you really do everyone, not just leaders, but everyone does have to recognize when they're being invited, and inviting doesn't feel good sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Being invited to explore more of yourself is, like you said, right? Where is this not feeling good? What am I avoiding? And why am I avoiding that, right? And just, it's a simple invitation to explore more of yourself. And there's nothing to be afraid of because at the end of that rainbow, it's just you.
Yeah.
You know, but in that, I think public speaking is one of people's biggest fears. I think it's like listed in statistics and all that stuff.
Overdying,
wild. Because it feels like you're dying. It feels like you're dying, right? You said that you were afraid of the question that would come. You know, what are some strategies that you use to navigate those either unwanted questions or questions that people have not planned for?
Yeah, I love this. Well, I am, I'm a little bit of a, I think I'm a little bit of an oddball in this case, not an oddball, but I operate a little bit outside of the norm. When I was being trained, it was, you know, a lot of my mentors would say, don't take questions from the audience. Don't, you know, don't do live coaching, you know.
Wow.
And the reason was because you didn't know what it was that was going to happen, especially when you are, you know, for most of us who are doing that, there is, you know, it's a marketing process for us. Like when you're speaking at an event, it's a marketing process. So if you get mispositioned because somebody challenges you, because somebody gives you something that you can't manage. And a lot of times people come up to the mic with problems that cannot be resolved in 1 or 2 minutes, right?
Correct.
So, you know, so all of those things could kind of misposition you in the room and impact your ability to market and yourself and, you know, sell your services. So, but I've always liked doing that. You know, it's the interaction with the people is always, it's rewarding for me. I feel very confident in my coaching skills and my ability to handle any type of situation that comes up, really. And a lot of that is just from my almost 20 years of experience, and I have a lot of training in it. So
right.
I am one to have that interaction. I am one to have those conversations because I think they enrich. And I think one of the biggest gifts that we can give the audience is hearing other people mirror them and say, yes, you're not alone. You're not alone.
Yes.
And my coaching skills is one of my strong suits. So it does let me show off and do my thing there as well. So I think I forgot the question you asked me.
That's okay. It was just about strategies that people use because
Thank you. I was like, where am I going with this? Okay. So what I started to do was, so number one, I think what I was trying to say there is that some of it just comes with experience, right?
Yeah.
When you do it enough and you practice it enough, then you develop the confidence, right? So practice, practice, mock. I am a huge fan of mocking, right? Like practice, whether you're mocking sales conversations, whether you're mocking coaching, whether you're like actually practiced, right? The other thing is I do this thing where I create the audience.
Yeah. Oh, set the tone.
You know, I will actually, in my mind, with the power of my imagination, declare who the audience is for me. The audience is generous. The audience is here because they are generous and they want to listen to what I have to say. They're authentically interested in what I have to say, right? And it's like, I don't know if you want to call it a mantra, you know, but we create through language.
Yes.
And so if you're saying, oh my God, the audience is going to reject me, that's just the same way. If you're going to create, then create something that gives
positive.
You power, right?
Yep.
You create. So I just create the audience as generous. I create the audience as giving. And I don't judge. The other thing that I do is I really step into my authenticity. So one of the things, again, that I was like, don't do this. I think maybe it's different now. I don't know. But 20 years ago, a speaker going up in front of the room and saying, hey, I'm really nervous right now.
I do
it. Would be seen as like you're lowering your authority. One of the biggest things I did in my career was walk up in front of the room and start saying, hi, my name is Gary Montalvo, and I am really nervous right now. I want to make sure I did a good job for you guys. I'm going to start to sweat. I have a towel that I bring because I'm going to start to sweat, but it's okay. And just know that I'm going to be Luther Vandrossing here and wiping up my sweat. The moment I did that, I did it because I knew that it would free me. I knew that it would free me, but that's what I didn't realize was going to happen.
Freeze them too.
That was the discovery. And not only does it free them, but it gives them permission. It immediately connects them to me.
Yes.
Because now they're not listening to Gary as like, oh my God. They're like, oh, Gary's real. Gary's human. Who can't relate to being afraid of giving a presentation, a workshop? And so that was a surprise how much emotional connection it would create for people. And that's one of the biggest things that I give people when I'm training them in sales or training them in speaking. I'm like, just speak your truth.
Just speak your truth.
It's like, hey, listen, I'm starting this business. You're literally the first person that I'm talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking to you because I would love to work with you. Can you give me 5 minutes to do my spiel? If not, it would be good. Even if you're not interested, it's good practice for me. You're going to free yourself up. You're going to free them up and they're going to be like, okay, yeah, let's talk. So those are probably that's probably the biggest one that I can give you. Just being your authentic self, being your authentic expression. Don't put anything that would concern them, right? Like, oh my God, I'm having a panic attack, you know? Because now they're going to be worried about you in that way. But like, you know, but like, hey, I'm nervous. I'm stepping into my courage right now and doing this, you know, be nice to me. And you'll notice that I'm really afraid you guys are going to be judging me right now. So, you know, be nice. And they'll love you. They'll love you. They'll connect with you. And you'll be free. That's the biggest thing. If you can't, listen, you cannot be free if you're pretending and you're hiding all the stuff.
Correct.
You just can't. Right. So the moment you just go, okay, I'm putting this down. Well, now I have my hands. Now I have power again. Now I can, you know, move about the stage and have fun.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you for that. Yeah. What is your favorite leadership book?
So something that I go back to a lot, there's a book called The 3 Laws of Performance, and it really talks about the process of understanding how language creates a reality and understanding. And then once you understand that, using language to create the reality that you want to experience and live into. And it's transformative. I refer to it so many times. It really talks about integrity and the power of our word, because again, we create through language. But the problem is that most human beings are very sloppy with our language and very sloppy with our words. So we'll say from like, I'll be there in 5 minutes, to tomorrow I'm going to start the gym, to all the nasty things that we say about ourselves when nobody's looking. So it just really brings all that stuff to mind and gives you the power to start using language to create an empowering, positive way.
The book's name is The Three Laws of Performance. I'll put it in the show notes just so people have it. I love that. All right. So favorite book, favorite podcast other than yours?
I love The Diary of a CEO.
He's fire.
You know, I think he brings really interesting people. I think he's willing to bring people that challenge his own views and don't necessarily think the way that he does, which is something that we need more of now.
Yes.
Yeah, I love, you know, he inspires me a lot in some of the stuff that I do in my podcast. So yeah.
Yeah. The power of disagreeing with someone and yet not feeling any feelings towards that disagreement is one of the most underrated things today.
It's more than underrated. It's like the opposite is valued now.
Correct.
Like, we're in opposing. This place where the opposing view becomes our battle cry.
Threat.
And it's we have to get back to a place where we can have these conversations. Otherwise, we're just going to be at each other's throats the whole time.
Yeah, it definitely feels like two worlds are happening, right? There's the world where people like you and I can disagree and I can love you just as much because it means nothing that you disagree with me because it takes nothing away from me. And then there's the other side where, you know, if you disagree with me, you're literally, you know, threatening my life. And, you know, I have a very spiritual person. And so all of this needs to happen, right? In so many words, and likely get worse before it gets better, just to reach the pinnacle of this BS that we're living in.
Yeah.
To have the duality of it, you know, I agree. I think one of the best traits of a leader is to have someone openly disagree with me. I love when people openly disagree with me and we can talk through it. And I can say at the end, like, all right, I can understand where you're coming from. Although I don't agree, I do understand.
Yeah.
Right. And thank you for that perspective. That's fire. Yeah. It's power.
Yeah. It's just we have to. And the key to that is maintaining the respect in the conversation. I think that that's what's happening, that we just, if you don't agree with me, then I remove my respect. And so now I'm not speaking to a human, you know, and it's like, no, that's still a human being. And by the way, just because Romy and I have the ability to do that, it doesn't mean that it's easy. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to do work on ourselves to make sure that we're operating from that place.
Yeah.
You have to be, it comes from a deep commitment to have our work and our why and our purpose be more important than people agreeing with us.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. And it takes something for sure.
Yeah. Favorite mentor that's like celebrity, like in either leadership or anything?
I suck at these questions. Let me see. Who am I partial to right now? I'm actually, you know.
I don't even know what you're going to say, but.
Well, because the thing that I feel like I can say this because you came out the closet as a spiritual woo-woo person, but the person that I'm kind of obsessed right now with is like Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar. So I don't know, like, if that's like fire way to too me. Out there.
No.
In the show, but he's kind of the person that I'm like watching all their videos right now.
Yeah, I agree. I think he is just Bashar, just like Abraham, just like of those fire. Yes, very good.
Yeah.
But they just bring you back to yourself, right? They just bring you back to like truth and you feel it in your body.
I think that I feel like they're bringing us back to heart.
Yes.
And we were kind of leaning a little too much towards the, you know, the masculine side, right? The get stuff done, the planning, the, which is like
execution.
I mean, my journey as a leadership coach, that's where I started. You know, I was all like, do whatever it takes. Come on. Are you committed? Let's go. And I've had to, it's been for the last, like, you know, 4 years, I think 3 years, where I've started this journey of like, I know I need both sides of myself to be integrated.
Yeah.
Fully. I mean, I've always cared about people deeply, but the way that I approach problem solving was very much from like,
right.
And so what happens is you don't have access to the creativity. You don't have access to the play. You don't have access to the vision aspect of it. And so I'm learning to integrate those. And so I feel like a lot of the spiritual teachings that are getting highlighted and becoming louder and louder.
Feminine.
I think they're bringing this into that integration, right? I'm all about it.
Yeah, I'd say 1,000%. I think all of us lived in a very masculine, and it needed to be done, right? Because we needed to build.
Yeah.
But it's built now. So let's get back to the heart and let's integrate, to your point.
Yeah.
It reminds me of, you know, back in the day, I say back in the day, like we're old, but when you work the most hours, it meant you were the most dedicated, you know? And for the last maybe 5 years, for sure, 3.5, I've been explaining and almost drilling into people that it doesn't matter how much time you put in. What matters is that when you're here, you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and your work just needs to be done. And when your work is done, you should have more life, you know, because this place can't be your life. It's not your life, you know? Yeah. And I think that that's part of the shift that's happening back into the heart and back into yourself is just, you know, remembering, like you said, to play, to create, to be more of you.
Or because it's working differently, really, because
it's working differently.
That feminine side that we're talking about, that's where innovation lives. That's where creativity lives. So a lot of times the problem you're trying to solve is not by putting more hours, it's by bringing innovation. It's by bringing a different way of thinking.
Yeah.
And so if you're not fully integrating those sides of both sides of you, you're going to only approach it from like, how many hours can I put into this to make it feel like I'm solving this problem?
Right.
Which is, you know, there's only 25 hours in a day.
Yeah.
That's a resource that's limited.
Yeah. That's why, like, let me sleep on it is such a powerful thing, because let me go rest and actually think away from here.
Yeah.
And allow, you know, new thoughts to come through. So that's beautiful. Gary, what are your final thoughts for the audience?
It's, you know, I think what I want to say is that you're never done. You don't get to the mountaintop and like, okay, I'm a leader now. Okay, I'm certified in this. Like you know, the stuff that we're talking about, it's a life process.
It's a life.
And the moment you climb one step, you find yourself at the bottom of the next one. And so when you stay curious, when you stay open, when you stay in the inquisitiveness of it, you'll discover a new you every time. And you are not this thing that's fixed. None of us are. We are always growing. We're always evolving. We're always changing. Your opinions can change. Your needs can change. Your desires, your values, all of that is constantly in flux, and that's okay. You want that.
Yeah.
So yeah, stay in the game, you know, stay in the game and staying ownership of the game. That's why my podcast is called The Ownership Game, because when you're in ownership of the game, then you can navigate all those curves, all those turns, all those valleys and dips and highs and lows and the whole thing. But this has been a lovely conversation, Romy. Thank you so much.
I loved it. I am loving it. I'm going to definitely recommend this to everyone, because we're always connected, right? And so I value your perspective, and the way that you come through is just very magnetic. So thank you, Gary, also known as the Grand Supreme Commander of the Universe. I had to put it in there.
Romy was like, what title do you want to be called on the show? I was like, Grand Supreme Commander of the Universe. You remembered that.
Yes, I did. Thank you, Gary, so much. I would love to stay in contact with you. I think that
I would love that too.
What we just did was like phenomenal. So thank you so
much. Absolutely. Anytime you want to have me back, and we'll figure out a time for you to come hang out on my show.
For sure. Gary, all of Gary's contacts where you can connect with him and find him will be in the show notes. But Gary, where can they find you? Where do you put yourself out the most?
Very hard to find me. It's just GaryMontalvo.com everywhere. It's GaryMontalvo.com, Gary Montalvo Instagram, Gary Montalvo on Facebook.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Guys, connect with Gary. He's power. He's magnetic. He's everything that you would want in a leadership coach for sure. So thank you again, Gary. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been an honor.
Yes. And that concludes our episode of Leadership from the Heart. Everyone, thank you for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
Bye.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.